The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 1. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus said, "In that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you,
because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." When Jesus teaches you about prayer, he's teaching you about calling upon God's name. He's teaching you what it means to turn in faith toward God and to have God's ear, so as to implore him that he would guard and keep you as his own in this life and into eternity. So really, it's nothing other than living out the second commandment of rightly using the name of God, which has been revealed in the scriptures and placed upon you in the waters of holy baptism. Prayer then is no joke. It's not some form of amusement that has been formed out of the imagination of men. No, prayer is given by God and commanded by him. And this way too, prayer is not optional. To be a Christian and to pray, they go together. When God speaks to you about prayer, he doesn't leave it up to your own choice or convenience. God commands you to pray, even to the extent that you are exhorted in his word to pray without ceasing. And so the first part of knowing why you pray is because God commands you. Is it any wonder then, when you look and read the Gospels and the life of our Lord on this earth, you see Jesus praying all the time. You see him praying in various situations. So when Jesus prays, he does so as an obedient son, fulfilling what his Father commanded him to do. And he does so also as the Lord who cares for his people. He prays as one who knows who he is, who hears what has been spoken, and who prays to the Father who sent him and loves him. Now listen again to the words of your Lord. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So, it's appropriate for us that good Lutheran question, what does this mean? How does this teach you about prayer? How does this invite you to pray? How does this give you those promises which you cling to in your God-given faith as you pray? Rogate, this Sunday of the church year, typically has been set aside to talk about prayer. That word means it's a form of to ask God, to implore God. Well, first, as you sit here this morning, examine yourself according to God's law. Your old Adam doesn't want to pray. He wants to live a life that doesn't see a need to depend on someone outside of yourself. The very nature of prayer acknowledges the fact that you are not sufficient in your own. This is something even in the church, too. Even those among who are baptized, prayer is not practiced daily or simply at meals. God commands you, though, to pray without ceasing, among other commands to pray. And Jesus in the Gospels speaks of prayer, even in this text, of when you pray or when you ask, to show this is something his people do. Christians pray. Lest you also forget, unbelief hates prayer, too. You are tempted to think that when you have what you do, it's all because of yourself and what you determine. The sinful flesh also wants prayer to be the way that you think you are righteous before God. This is one of the most common things pastors hear when they confront people in their sin. It doesn't matter the case. This summer I will have been a pastor for 12 years, and time again, you always hear, "I pray," as the creed of the old man when he thinks he doesn't need to hear God's word, when he thinks he doesn't need to receive the Lord's gifts, his sacraments. The glorious confession that God gives us of "I pray" gets perverted into the vile confession of "I don't need Jesus because I'm in the driver's seat in terms of my standing with God. I pray." Now the second part of "why do I pray" is because God has promised to hear you. And this is really vivid in the gospel reading. Very clear. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So you see, this is where we start to see the wonderful thing about prayer then too. God promises you that he hears your prayers and answers them. Now, the world would tempt you to placing your trust in prayer to something other than God. And then you forget the promises of God when you turn your prayer into a means of manipulating the name of God rather than calling upon the name of God. You're tempted to think if enough people pray for you or if you pray hard enough, then God will really hear and answer you. My personal favorite, and it still is the meme that you see of Jesus sitting by the computer waiting for so many likes on Facebook. He's like, "Oh, I'm just waiting for 3 more likes, and then I will hear and answer this person's prayer." I always wondered what Jesus' profile picture would be like, though. But this is often what prayer gets turned into. When you hear any number of phrases, prayer kind of turning into this, "It's dependent upon me." Now, it's all good and well, and we should get people to pray for us. We should ask people to pray for us. We should pray for others, and we should pray fervently. But that's not the basis by which God hears and answers our prayers. Prayer is speaking to God as children who are talking to their dear Father. Another thing happens too when the devil puts in your minds the doubt that God will answer your prayers, or to somehow think you need to earn what you're asking for in praying to God. The devil likes you to think God will answer my prayer if I do this or don't do that. Prayer then is taken out of the hands of Christ, your gracious Lord, and placed into your own. Your sin gets rubbed in your face, or you question God's promises rather than believing, as we rightly confess in the small catechism about the fifth petition, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. So on the flip side, you caveat them to maybe make them to be your will the determining factor for the answer to the prayer, rather than the instruction of Jesus to pray, "Thy will be done." So, dear people of God, don't fall into those errors. Listen to Jesus. Prayer is something that rests solely and completely upon Christ and his work for you. So really, prayer is so much more comforting than what the devil, what the fallen world, what your sinful flesh want to pervert it into. And Jesus is teaching you that today, and it can't be stressed enough. He's teaching you what it means to pray to God, and he invites you to do so. This is a gracious invitation to hear and answer your prayers out of his mercy toward you and what he has accomplished by his obedient life, his atoning death, his resurrection for your justification. So in this way, then, you see prayer rightly through the lens of Jesus. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in the death and resurrection of Jesus, as one who has been baptized into Christ, as one who bears that name of God. So the mediation of Christ forms your prayer and carries your prayer before the throne of God, because he is the one who has made peace between you and the Father. So prayer is all about his sacrifice for you, which gives you access to the Father. It's to pray through the blood of the atonement, which has satisfied God's wrath against you, reconciled you to the Father. You're no longer God's enemy, but because of Christ, God hears you. He answers you. He calls you his dear child, and you call him your dear Father. So it's no wonder that the gospel reading today ends with Jesus saying what he does about peace, because peace is a word of forgiveness. It's a word connected with the death of Christ on the cross for you. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So that as you have peace, you are forgiven. Now there will be times when you see what the answer to your prayer is in this life. Sometimes it might not be right away. Sometimes it might be years down the road. In the Bible, the example is given of the persistent widow. Think also of the Canaanite woman who was seemingly ignored, then rebuked and called a dog by Jesus. And then the Lord heard and answered her prayers. But in humility, her prayers look to the promises of God, who alone shows mercy in Christ. And there's countless other examples. That's not always right away. And in your life, there may be times that you still are praying for something that there seems to be no answer to. Or the devil is trying to get you to doubt that they are falling on deaf ears, that God is not really listening to you, that he doesn't care about you, that you're not important before his glorious throne. But you see, don't listen to those lies. That doesn't mean for one instance that God has stopped hearing you and answering your prayers. But you see, it's precisely in these times that the Lord places before you these promises, like he does in the reading today. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So as you do pray, sometimes even in tears, you cling to the words of Jesus. And in doing this, you fix your eyes on him and see that the joy that only he can give, for he is crucified for you and risen from the dead. He is the God who hears and promises to answer your prayers, and he is the God who has risen from the dead and will raise you from your graves too. And yes, he is the God who doesn't lie. When Jesus says these words, he means them. They are true, and they're true for you. So the boldness of prayer, then, the confidence of prayer, of trust, is trusting the promises of God, even when the answer to your prayer might at times be a no. You look to God, who alone is good, who is righteous and knows what you need even before you ask him. Everything rests in him who has created, redeemed, and sanctified you to be his own dear children. So as you pray in this way and in this faith, the Lord sustains you and strengthens you through his word and sacraments, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and the one who gives you peace and has overcome the world. That's where your confidence lies as you pray to your God. And Jesus goes on in the gospel reading to teach you the ramifications. He said, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." And so this echoes the last 2 weeks, where Jesus has talked about his work going to the Father, offering up himself, dying to satisfy the wrath of God, rising from the dead, and ascending to the right hand of the Father. This Thursday is Ascension Day, And Pentecost is coming up as well. Jesus is preparing them, even as he was preparing them for his death and resurrection. But you here on this side of all of those events, through faith in Christ, you have salvation. You have access to God as you pray in this life. Jesus goes on further. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." What wonderful words of Jesus to hear this morning as you see who you are in Christ. What wonderful words for you, Ella, on your confirmation day, to know that your Lord has overcome the world, and that's what's been given to you in the waters of your baptism. And so even though he tells the disciples they will be scattered and they will leave him alone, Jesus will not be alone, for he is with the Father. And for you, this means that you stand before the throne of God as one who is in Christ, hidden in him, clothed with him. And then in this world, as a child of God, even though tribulations may abound, even though suffering may abound, any number of things, you do have peace. You have peace because Jesus is the one who has overcome the world. So prayer realizes this and lives in it because you know you have deliverance from the tribulations of the world and look forward to the life to come. Even if you be scattered, even if you be scattered from friends, family, any number of things, you're not scattered from the Lord. You belong to him. So when you pray to God, you are praying as his children. You're praying boldly, confidently, as those who bear the name of the Holy Trinity, those who have been made clean by the blood of Christ. So to pray then the Lord's Prayer, to call God our Father, to call him your Father is nothing insignificant. And not everyone can call God their Father. Only those who are in Christ can pray the Lord's Prayer rightly and with confidence. But that's you. You are in Christ, and you have the boldness to pray, "Our Father." And it's a wonderful thing before God. It's sweet incense before the throne because your prayers are carried through Christ crucified, the one whom the Father is well pleased. So when you pray, you are heard as children, dear, beloved children of God. And God cares for you. So whatever is going on in your life, being times of trial, trouble, suffering, thanksgiving, or great joy, the Lord hears you. There's nothing insignificant in your life that God doesn't care for you or not listen to your prayer. A little kid thanking God for his dog or for the Lord to keep it safe is just as heard as the congregation who prays together for the country. All of these things are heard. Because all are prayed in Christ, who is the mediator between God and man, the one who is your Redeemer. So thanks be to God today for this, the gift of prayer. Christians, pray. And dear Christians, on this Rogate Sunday, pray to your Lord. Pray this day. Pray every day. Pray without ceasing. Teach your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and all who call upon him to pray to Jesus as beggars who looks to the Lord in his mercy. And yes, pray boldly, pray confidently, knowing that God commands you to pray, and he promises to hear you. And behold Jesus, crucified and risen, and know this is most certainly true. For the Son of God, true man, is yours, and that means everything. In Christ, you have it all as God commands you to pray and promises to hear you. And hear you, he does now as you pray and on that final day into eternity where your faith ends. And you see him face to face, just as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.